Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today we're talking about narcissistic grandmothers and how to deal with them. So one of the requests I received was about how to deal with your narcissistic mother when she becomes a grandmother and she starts focusing her attention on her grandchildren in a toxic way. Now, if your mother, despite being a narcissistic mother, is a wonderful grandmother, and never would use your children to control you or manipulate you or to get her needs met in any way, then that's wonderful. Yet very often this is not the case, as the narcissistic tendencies and behaviors don't just disappear unless the proper inner work is done, which happens rarely with a narcissist. So chances are in some way the narcissistic behavior is coming true with her grandchildren too. And this can sometimes be tricky to spot, as she can be very skillful at hiding it when you are around, or she could be doing it in a way that is very different as to how she used to be with you when you were a child, making it harder for you to see the actual behavior. Now, this episode can also be useful if you have a narcissistic grandmother yourself, so not only if you have kids and your mother has become a grandmother, but just for you to go and feel into the relationship you had with your own grandmother and see how that was. As the more you learn about how a narcissistic grandmother shows up, the more you can unpack the wounds you might be carrying as a result of such relationship. I will touch on this in the episode. But if this is the case, if this is your case, and you're like, yeah, my grandmother actually was narcissistic, I would love to hear your experience on this. And if you have any specific questions, you can email me. The email is always in the description of the episode. In this episode, I will speak to the 14 signs to recognize a narcissistic grandmother, and then I will talk to how to deal with her. So let's go through the signs first. The first thing is manipulation. She uses all the classic manipulation techniques like guilt tripping, gaslighting, blaming, shaming, victimhood, triangulation, and so on. Keep in mind that a narcissistic grandmother is often displaying a more vulnerable type of narcissism, although it can be grandiose too. But it can be a little bit more subtle. So check out the episode 34, 15 Signs Your Mother is a Cover Narcissist, for details on how a vulnerable narcissist shows up. So that can give you some insight. If your grandmother is more like the vulnerable type, you can get some insight as to how the vulnerable narcissist works. In my family, I was blessed to know and meet my great-grandmother. She passed away when I was about 11, so I really got to know her really well. And my great-grandmother was a vulnerable narcissistic mother. And the way she was with her grandchildren was even more vulnerable. And so on with her great-grandchildren. I remember being with her so often while she was crying, because she was telling me, I was only maybe like 6 or 7, and she was telling me how no one loved her and that she was just going to go into a nursing home so that at least she wouldn't bother anyone anymore. And I was the one that was there like going, no, please, great granny, you know, don't go. We love you. And, you know, I was the one that felt responsible and had to console her and make sure she wouldn't go anywhere, which I know now she was never going to go anywhere, but that was just the way she was getting attention. My grandmother was a grandiose narcissist, a grandiose narcissistic mother, but a very vulnerable narcissistic grandmother. So there was quite the difference with the behavior that she had towards her own daughter and the behavior that she had towards her granddaughters. So there are no rules really in how this can happen. She can show up in a way with her grandchildren that is very different than how she was with you, and yet still highly toxic. And it's important to know that, because it did take me a while. Like, even when I realized how narcissistic my mother was, it took me a while to actually really understand that this kind of behavior has went on for generations in my family, and to really see it with my grandmother. And it's something that happens often when we have a narcissistic mother. I hear it all the time. The relationship with the grandmother is usually really, really good. And again, it might be fantastic, and that's just that. But sometimes there is unpacking to do there, which I definitely had to. So that's why I'm bringing that in. So the next sign is a narcissistic grandmother is secretive. Okay, she's careful not to be caught. She may use manipulative strategies with her grandchildren when no one is around. She could even explode with anger and be aggressive with them, and so be more grandiose like that, or cry and guilt them, but only when alone with them. Okay, she could also ask them to keep secrets from their actual parents, such as, don't tell your mother about our little argument today, and I'll get you the toy you want. So kind of using bribe, and then get them, especially when they're very small, and then get them to keep secrets from you. My grandmother used to have like literal fits in front of us granddaughters, as if she was about to have a heart attack or die or whatever. And so as a result of this, she would lie on the floor, sort of gasping for air, and it was quite dramatic, really, especially when we were very small and we really believed that that was true. And that was to get attention or to get us to do what she wanted when she felt like maybe we had answered her badly or whatever. That was her way. So, but this never happened in front of our parents, of course. So one day, my sister, she was could be smaller than me, but she had copped on to the whole thing. So, Granny was having one of these fits, and my sister just dialed her dad's number on the phone. Sort of, I can't remember if she pretended to call her dad or if she actually did, but the minute that she picked up the phone and said out loud, "I'm gonna call dad," Granny literally shot up to her feet like lightning, and the whole thing was resolved. Like, it was like nothing ever happened. She was from looking like she was dying and you had to call an ambulance, to just tidying up the kitchen and smiling like nothing ever happened. So they don't like to be caught. That's just an example that I can now sort of smile to, but at the time was pretty intense to go through. But it's just an example to say that they are very secretive and they don't want to be caught. Third sign is they have no respect for boundaries. No respect for where her role of grandmother has her, so she oversteps parenting boundaries. She could feel entitled to parent her grandchildren, feeling she's so much better at that than the actual mother. She could also overstep and disregard rules you've laid out as a mother, hiding behind the fact maybe that it is the grandparents' role to spoil the kids. This can lead to a lot of confusion in the kids and tension between mother and children, as she could play all the way as to make you look like you're the bad person. I remember not wanting to give sugar to my children in the first few years of their life, because I had read and I know that it's not very good, and they need to get used to a lot of different flavors rather than just going for sweet, sweet, sweet all the time. And this was like a major thing, Granny would just try and give them sweets, and so make me and obviously my husband look like the bad people because we were keeping sweets away from the kids. So things like that. And again, they can make things for the kids very, very, very confusing. I have also been there from the other perspective with my grandmother, wanting to always overstep boundaries with my own mother and be the one that parented us the most. So that can be very tricky. In the same fashion, she will have no respect for your decisions, and going forward, she will have no respect for the decisions of her grandchildren as they grow up. So I know with my grandmother, she wouldn't respect my mother's decisions, but now as I'm an adult, she doesn't respect mine either. So again, it works from both perspectives. Next sign, she picks favorites. Okay, so a narcissistic grandmother will have a favorite grandchild. Usually, this is the easiest one to manipulate and to befriend. And who's her favorite may also change with time. For example, the youngest might become the new favorite as an older grandchild stops doing what she wants. You know, like as an older child kind of rebels a little or cops on to the manipulation, even subconsciously. So she might just change target and make a younger one her favorite, completely disregarding the older one, which can obviously be very hurtful for the child and confusing. And I have seen that happening in my family all the time. Like, it literally just moves from one to the next to the next. Fifth sign, confusing conversations. So this is an interesting one. A narcissistic grandmother may drag you around a nonsensical conversation when you're trying to make a point. With the, like, this can, it's personal how this happens. But what happens is effectively they just keep answering you with nonsensical, this can could be like diverging from the point you're trying to make and bringing up something from the past. They love bringing up the past, like even the past that is so far away that no one else remembers the details, but they seem to remember it like to perfection, like they had it written somewhere and they're reading it out loud. And they start bringing in that, and then they start bringing in, oh, but like the neighbor said, and a different point of view altogether. And they just drag you around this mix up of words and communication, and the purpose of all of it is to make you feel exhausted, drained, confused, or to have you losing it and exploding in front of her and others so that she can have a story to tell about your bad temper, make you look bad. This is something I've been there so many times with my grandmother. It's one of her favorite ways to trigger, and I have lost it in front of her. And I have left conversation feeling absolutely drained, like thinking I've done my best and thinking I maybe even made some points and maybe we got there, only to start over the next day like the conversation never even happened, leaving me really, really tired. Like, and this can go all the way to gaslighting. So having you leaving the conversation feeling you are the crazy one. Sixth sign, they can use flying monkeys. Just as a narcissistic mother can. I mean, a narcissistic grandmother can use other members of the family and manipulate them to be on her side. So, and then you know how that works. Number seven, she undermines you as a parent. So, as we mentioned already, she oversteps boundaries. She doesn't respect your boundaries and your decisions. So she can go all the way as to do her best to convince her grandchildren that she knows best, showing evidence of how little prepared you are as a mother. For example, simple example, but you're out in the park, your child gets a little cut or whatever, and maybe you are out of plasters or bandages in your bag, but she will have one, and which is great. I mean, that up until that point, that would be brilliant help and support. But she will make a point to remark on the fact that she was more prepared than you. Where would you be without me? Kind of statements, okay? And so shaming you for not having, for not being prepared while she is, and doing that in front of your kids. She can go all the way as to manipulate her grandchildren using the strings of guilt and comfort. Maybe providing treats and gifts that only she can get. Or guilting them, showing evidence of how unloved she is. So like, you know, your mother doesn't love me and you are the only one that loves me. You know, making the grandchildren feel, or telling them that they are the only light in her sad, lonely life, and she couldn't live without them and all that kind of stuff. And again, she may ask them to keep all of this secret, so you mightn't know anything about this. Number eight, use of the grandchildren to get to you. Okay, that's where she uses them to control you. She may use the grandchildren as a bridge between you and her. This is especially if you have set boundaries with her that she knows, I mean, she's aware she can't actually overstep those boundaries because you've you're grounded now and you've started making that very clear, so she can use the grandchildren to ask you things that she knows she can't really talk to you about anymore, topics that she knows she can't bring up without having consequences. She may get them to tell you, and again, this is very confusing for the children involved, especially if they end up getting the reaction of the parent, which can happen. I mean, you're not a bad parent if you've done that. It can happen if the parent is not aware of what's actually happening behind the scenes. So I'll give you an example from my own experience. My grandmother, money was always an issue in my family, as in it was the topic of 99.9% of conversations. My grandmother used me often to speak about money with my father, because my parents were divorced, so my father was meant to pay for me, and he was, but there was always this topic of it was never enough. And so they wouldn't face him. My mother wouldn't, but my grandmother was particularly upset about this fact. So she wouldn't go face my dad, but she would have me as a small child going, asking dad for more money or things like that, which he has gotten angry with me at times, as if I was the one that was bringing the topic up. Because for all the world, that's what it looked like. If you didn't know all the behind the scenes manipulations and workings, it didn't seem, I wasn't going there saying, Granny said, you know, because the way it was brought to me was in a way that I wouldn't do that. And I would just make it seem like it was coming out from me. And so I got reactions sometimes. And so, again, that built a lot of anxiety in me. I didn't know what I could speak to. And it was just very confusing. Or another thing she could do was to, a big topic was holidays. She wanted to bring us on holidays, and my mother never agreed to that. But in the end, we always went with Granny anyways. But she would send myself or my sister to ask Mother about these holidays, if we could go with Granny, you know, sort of with the fact that we really wanted to go. And so, like, our mother could get angry at us at times because of that, although it was just always coming from, you know, the manipulations of Granny. So it is, as you can imagine. So either you've been through that as a granddaughter, or and you're recognizing it and go, whoa, or you're seeing that that could be a possibility with your children. It's very confusing for a child to be in that. Number 9, weaponizing of holidays and celebrations. Much like a narcissistic mother, there can be entitlement to be a part of celebrations such as birthdays or holidays. She may try to commandeer the day or to sabotage it. So overall, she's going to try and make it a difficult time for all involved. Anytime there is a holiday, celebrations, winter holidays, the birthday of the grandchildren, it's just going to get messy in some way, shape or form because of her behavior. Then you can have a different type of grandmother. Not all of them are like that, but it can show up. It's the convenience grandmother. So the convenience grandmother is someone that only wants to see her grandchildren when and where it's convenient to her. And she may blame you if you don't go by her requests on the matter. Like, I've been living in a different country and I've had that happening quite a bit. Like, rather than one person flying to visit us, they want, and my grandmother is one of those, they want 4 people to fly down see them. It's like, that's very interesting, because it's a lot easier for one person to move and a lot cheaper too than having 4 traveling just to see you. And when, and it's always I'm the one that's blamed for the whole thing. So again, it's convenience. They really love their grandchildren. They really want to see them, but they're on their own terms. That just, you know, it gets, it's a little bit of a narcissistic behavior. Number 11, triangulation. She may use triangulation between the parents and the grandchildren. And this can be especially effective if the parents are separated or divorced. Between the parents of the grandchildren. So putting you against your husband. And if the parents are divorced, like in my case, but I know many of you are in the same situation, that can be easier because she can, you know, she can talk to one or the other and kind of end up sowing seeds of discord between the two parents, because you could be separated but being able to have like an okay relationship, but she will make it worse so that she can just get access to the grandchildren, or that she can just get whatever needs met that she wants. But she can also do that between you and your children. So in my family, relationships between mother and daughter were always difficult. As I mentioned, it's a long-standing sort of generation after generation of narcissistic mothers and then the daughters. So those relationships were complicated. And yet grandmother to granddaughter was okay. So if you have experienced something similar, this may be, as I mentioned earlier, because your mother is a narcissist and your grandmother is wonderful. But the question that you need to ask yourself, maybe, is why is your mother a narcissist? Where did that come from? Narcissism is a response to trauma. And one is not just born like that. And it's not that someone is just born a narcissist. Okay, so where did that come from? If your mother is a narcissist, there's to have a look at her parents. And because mother-daughter, it's like the relationship here that we're looking into, there is to consider that your grandmother might have had narcissistic behaviors towards your mother. And that can be at the root of how your mother is showing up. This is not to justify and, you know, pity them or anything. It's purely to understand, because then if you've had a really strong bond with your grandmother, was that a clean energy, or was there a lot of narcissism going on in there as well? Maybe again, vulnerable and covert. Another question to ask is, what has your grandmother truly done to support your relationship with your mother? In other words, has she somehow taken advantage of the contrast between you and your mother? My grandmother has taken a massive advantage. She wanted to fill her tank. She felt lonely and she wanted to have kids. Easy targets to receive love, kids. And so it was very convenient to her that my mother would neglect us, because that left her in complete charge of us. And so, again, this is not to say you shouldn't love your grandmother. I love mine to bits, very much. But to unpack the layers of trauma and wounding I carry, I had to look deep into my relationship with my grandmother too, as she was a big part of my life, which often happens when the narcissistic mother neglects her children, or she's not there as much as she should be, and then, like, you know, she could be working and stuff. The grandmother can become a very big part of the kid's life, and so it does have an impact. Now, we'll talk about that later, of the different impacts, but in my case particularly, I was pretty much raised by my grandmother, so that was really particularly important for me to unpack the narcissistic behavior that my grandmother had. So yeah, just something to feel into. Again, it's not to find problems where there aren't. I mean, if your relationship with your grandmother is beautiful, yeah, that's fine. Or if your mother is being a wonderful grandmother, that's brilliant too. Like, you don't need to worry about that. But it's only if that has caused you pain, and if there are still things in your life that are being affected by that relationship, that it's important to look into. So 12 point, withdrawal of affection. If confronted by you, she may say she won't see her grandchildren anymore. And she could also use this as a threat to keep the grandchildren secretive. So she could say something like, if you tell your mother, then she won't let me see you anymore, and it will be all your fault. So making the grandchildren feel responsible of the relationship between you and your mother, and the fact that you might set boundaries. This can go all the way to silent treatment, Which I know that may feel like a blessing to you. I know, oh, my mother stopped talking to me. That's amazing. But this can be very hurtful for the grandchildren if they had a close relationship. And it can be also difficult to explain if you've never spoken to narcissism with your children before and you have to start now that your mother has just stopped talking to them. So, or disappeared, you know. So that can be tricky. The number 13, adopting of grandchildren. This is when she treats her own child or now parent and her ki and the kids as if they were siblings. So she treats you and your children on the same level as if you were all her children. This happens when the enmeshment with the daughter is such that her children are also an extension of the narcissistic mother that is now a grandmother. So she will keep infantilizing her daughter, pretending, like, you know, treating her as if she's still a child and putting her on the same plane of the other ones that are actually children. My grandmother has done that. Like, she literally said it so many times that myself and my mother were like sisters to her. This has been an ongoing thing in my family, like the fact that, oh, you're like sisters. But we weren't. She was my mother, she wasn't my sister. But that makes the relationship very confusing. And she went all the way at some point as to try and get my mother when I was very, very small. Try and get my mother to sign a document that would have passed me in her complete care. So it would have just completely removed my mother out of the picture and made my grandmother my caretaker. Thankfully, my mother realized that at the time and didn't sign the paper. But that's to say, this is how, again, and I just want to say this, like, they can't do that. In case you were, oh my God, could my mother do that? Could she try and take my children away from me? Well, they can't. I mean, my mother had to sign that paper. It's not that easy. They can't just take your children away. But they can try manipulatively to try and make you feel like you are not good and that you're not a good mother, that you're not doing a good job, and so that you would end up literally handing over your kids, but they can't just take them. So just in case that just, you know, brought some anxiety up, it's not that simple a process. So number 14, they can use the grandchildren to control you. So this is when she uses outright threats as ways to control you, pulling on the fear string, for example, like she could threaten you to take your children away if you don't let her see them or stuff like that. So that would just make you really fearful, of course. It would, or anxious. I've received threats like that. I think at some point they've even threatened me that they would go to the social services and nonsense like that. On what basis, I don't know. Because again, you need to reflect back why. Yeah, she might actually go to the social services on you, but like, if your children are well cared for and beautiful and happy and all of that, like, it's not gonna work, is it? But they use that threat, and then you feel the fear and the anxiety as if they could actually do that and to some and have consequences for you. Or she can pull the guilt string, you know, by guilting you into seeing her grandchildren. If you, even if you know that she's toxic for them, she could use the guilt to make you still let her see them. Or she could use the comfort string, you know, threatening to stop minding the children when you're at work, for example, if you don't do as she asks. So if you have a relationship where you depend on your mother, to mind the children or, you know, to pick them up from school or things like that, then she can use that to control you because that's a comfort, you know, like, you know that she's there. You'd have to pay a childminder if she wasn't doing that, and she can use that against you. And again, we're always at the same thing. If all of this is done, if your mother is minding your children from a real place of love and she's been a great support, well, that's amazing. That's something to be super grateful for, and it's wonderful. But it's when that's being used, obviously, against you. That you need to look into that and set some boundaries and maybe be creative and find different solutions that put you back in control of the situation. So if any of the described behavior makes you think about your own grandmother and how she was or still is with you, and if that has stirred some reflections about the relationship you have with her, you can share your experience with me via email and let me know if a more specific episode on this topic could be useful for you. But going back to when you are a mother, dealing with your narcissistic mother who is now a grandmother can be extremely challenging. All of the described behavior can leave you feeling constantly anxious about the situation, conflicted as to what to do. I mean, you're between your mother and your children and it's messy and you don't know what the hell is the right decision. It could leave you feeling like you are a bad daughter if you keep the kids away from your mother, but also feeling like you're a bad mother if you don't protect your kids from her manipulations. And again, that's really, that can be the cause of a lot of hopelessness, anxiety, depression even. So you may feel trapped in a situation you perceive you have no control over and no way out. And that's a very painful place to be. I really feel you on that. I understand how this can feel extremely distressing and intense. Very, very intense. As I said, I've seen that happening in my family so much. I've been in both places. I've been the granddaughter in the situation, and I'm also the mother experiencing from the other point of view. I get it how intense it is. So how can you deal with your mother who is now a narcissistic grandmother? I have about 10 points to share with you on this. And listen till the end, because number 10 is the most important of all. I left the best for last. So first point is awareness. As always, this is key. Becoming fully aware of how her manipulations and toxic behaviors are extending to the grandchildren is very important. As we mentioned, she can be very secretive. She can do it in a completely different way than she's done it with you. So it's important to pay attention to the signs and become aware of how her behaviors are extending to the grandchildren and whether her narcissistic tendencies are having an effect on them. That's really important. Which goes right to number two, point number two, which is listen and tune into your children. Okay, this is important to understand how that a relationship is playing out, how those narcissistic tendencies are actually possibly affecting your children. You need to listen to them and tune into them. As a daughter of a narcissistic mother, you may carry a lot inside. We know we have wounds, and there can be undealt mother wounds, and there can be a lot of trauma, and this has its workings on our subconscious. Okay, so all of these can easily be projected at your kids, meaning you can end up assuming they're affected the same way as you were as a child. And this is not to say that you're seeing things and there is actually no toxicity going on, but it's to say that you might misinterpret it because you are projecting how it affected you onto your kids. And it might actually be affecting them in a completely different way, which requires you to act and behave in a completely different way. So it's really important to fully listen in. By fully listening and by tuning into them, you will create for them a truly safe space where they can speak with you, and they can and that allows them to speak to what they're truly feeling. It'll help you understand them, not seeing them through the filters of your own projections and your own traumas and your own wounding, but to actually see them and what is actually being affected in them. This way, you will also be able to speak to them about their grandmother's narcissistic behavior, okay? Possibly reminding them about none of that is their fault, that they're not responsible for their grandmother the same way as they're not responsible for you. And also in a way that you could speak to them in a way that is relevant to the experience that they're having And so that's a way that truly helps them. Because otherwise, I've seen that a lot. I had a lot of assumptions as to how my grandmother's behavior or my mother's behavior were affecting my girls. And it was all through those projections, all through those filters, how it had affected me. And it was only when I actually started listening to them that I realized, wow, well, they are being affected, but in a completely different way. So the way I was going about things actually wasn't all that helpful. It was actually adding problems to their problems because I was also throwing my problems onto them by doing it that way. So it's really important to this listening and tuning in, which is not something that we've been modeled by our narcissistic mothers. A narcissistic mother can't tune in. She can't be attuned. So we haven't really seen that happening. We've seen a lot of projection happening, tons of that, but we haven't seen the tuning in and fully listening. So it's something you need to find within yourself because you haven't been shown that from your mother. Maybe you can go back. Maybe you have been modeled that by some other woman in your life. Like we spoke about how a second mother figure, we mightn't be a stepmother, mightn't be, you know. It could just be someone that actually modeled that for you, maybe. If not, that's a skill that needs to be learned. It's really important. I had to learn it from scratch. Thankfully, in my learning process of it, I was reminded of how some women in my life actually gave me example of that behavior, as I mentioned in that episode on the second mother figure. But yeah, I had to learn it from scratch. So it's if you feel like, oh my, maybe I haven't done this up until now, that's okay. It's fine. I mean, you've done your best. You always do your best. And there's no point in judging yourself for what you didn't know. But now that you know, you're empowered and you can start learning how to do this so that you can be there for your kids. Third point, be aware of your patterns. Okay, this is something that no daughter of narcissistic mother wants to hear. I certainly didn't. But even with all the best intentions in the world, having received such an example by our mothers, we may end up repeating the same narcissistic patterns as our mothers. This happens subconsciously and we don't mean to. Okay, I would so often say things like, if I end up like my mother, tell me, or I'll never be like her. And I really meant it, but in reality, a lot of how I showed up with my daughters had the same energy as my mother's. And they were picking up on it. So this is really important because, again, we're going back to that point I made before about projecting onto the kids. But also, when this happens, for a child is easier to relate with a grandparent, even if it's a narcissistic grandparent, because a grandparent will always hurt you less. A grandmother will always be less impactful than the real biological mother, and therefore less hurtful. So, and this might actually be the root of why we end up having better relationship with our grandmothers than with our narcissistic mothers. And as a mother, you might be really scared that that's going to happen to your kids too. You know, you see them getting close to their grandmother and you're like, is this a repeat? Are they going to hate me and love her? So there is a reason for that. I mean, subconsciously, a grandmother is not going to be as hurtful. So you are, as a mother, you're the world to your child. So if you, without meaning to, repeat some narcissistic patterns, that's going to be really hurtful. Where with the grandmother, well, she's just the grandmother. It's an easier, like it's all subconscious. None of this is conscious, but it's an easier relationship. So a child might subconsciously pick the lesser evil, the least threatening relationship, the one that causes the least amount of pain internally. So becoming aware of your own patterns and coping strategies will help you prevent this because you will become, when you're aware of your patterns, when you're aware of how you behave and your coping strategies, you become really safe Because what can you do when you're aware? You can take responsibility. You know, if you're aware that you've snapped at your child or that you've used some passive aggressive sentences with your child or things like that, or that you've labeled your child heavily, or you can always go, I'm so sorry. This is completely my responsibility, and I know I've done that to you, and I'm taking it all back, and I'm apologizing to you. This is extremely powerful. When have you received that from your narcissistic mother? Silence. Never. My mother has never apologized to me. Never. I'm 39. Never. Not once. In some cases, she's done some victim manipulative sort of, oh, okay, I'm just going to say sorry to you because, you know, so at least you're going to show me some love. But, like, actually, I don't think the words I am sorry, I never heard them from her ever once. So that's really potent. When you can apologize and take full responsibility, this changes everything for your child. You become so safe to be around. So safe. And so mommy again becomes the person that is less threatening because she's safe, and it puts the narcissistic grandmother back in her place. And if you realize that you've done this, so if you're listening to this and all of a sudden you go, oh my God, I really didn't want to hear this, but I have been like that with my kids. I have repeated narcissistic patterns. I can see that, like the day that I actually realized that that was my case, it wasn't just one day, it was like weeks and months, but it was very intense. So the level of shame that came up for me and the guilt feeling, I felt horrible that I had done that to my girls. Horrible, because by intention, that was really not what I wanted to do. So that was really difficult, and if you're feeling like that, I get it. Just a word of advice from here, from having been through that, is there is, like, don't beat yourself up for it. Again, you've done your best. Those are subconscious patterns that happen. So until you become aware of them, they're really hard to spot. But once you become aware, it doesn't matter for how many years you've done that. Okay, the minute you apologize and take full responsibility, that turns it completely around. Like, my relationship with my eldest daughter has transformed just by the fact of saying sorry and taking responsibility. And even if I fall back into those patterns sometimes, because it does happen, she can call me out on it now. She goes, Mom, you're doing that again. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, I'm sorry. I really am. And I just change that. So they become empowered to call you out. They know it's safe to actually say, Mommy, you're just, that's not on. You can't do that with me. And they also learn the boundaries, which in turn helps them to set boundaries with their grandmother too. So you're empowering them massively by saying sorry and taking responsibility of the patterns once you become aware of them within you. Okay? And again, this is something that a narcissistic mother would never do. So that was a big point. Catch my breath on that. Again, reach out if that has stirred a lot in you, and you know you need to speak to that, or if you have questions on that, reach out. I do have an episode, I can't remember what number it is, if you go back, on how to parent your children and break the patterns of narcissism. So it's there somewhere if you go back through the episode, so you can listen to that. There's pointers on that. Number four, so beware of comparing your kids to yourself or to your mother. Not just out loud, but even in your head. I see that happening a lot around me, within especially mother and daughter's relationships, but even mothers and sons. And that is really hurtful for the child. So they could say things like that. Oh, I see so much of my mother in my daughter. She's just as stubborn as my mother is. Or you could say things like, poor thing, she's so sensitive, just like I was. This is a way of projecting a story onto our kids, which makes us not safe as mothers to be around. So again, go back to the safety. That's a really important point. When you project like that and you attach a story comparing your child to your mother, which clearly you don't get on with, so think about that. That's not very helpful for the child to hear. Or comparing her, your daughter or your child, to you, which clearly has had struggles and issues growing up, again, it's not very helpful. And when you do that a lot with your mother, so you compare the child to the grandparent, you might subconsciously create a dynamic by which the child wants to be more with the grandparent because they feel different from you and they feel the same with her. So they want to stay with someone they feel more similarities with. And again, it's all subconscious. But by doing that, you can create this weird dynamic happening. So it's really important, as much as you're aware of, to try and not do that. And as I said, not just out loud, but even within, because if you have these strong beliefs that your child is so much like the grandparent, or, you know, my daughter is so much like my mother, even if you don't say it to her, so you have a level of awareness not to say it to your daughter, but you are still going to project it out from your subconscious. It's going to come out. She will feel that. It's going to be in your energy. It's going to be in some words you use. It's going to be perceived. So it's something to be aware of. Number five, set boundaries. Like the same way you set boundaries with your mother as a narcissistic mother towards you, you want to set boundaries to her as a grandmother towards your children. Set conditions to your visits, for example. It's really important that you decide when you visit, where, the duration of the visit. Like, for example, set a time that you're going to leave at and stick to it, no matter what she does. You can also say something like, we will come and visit, but if you say or do, and you can fill in the blank here, then we're leaving. So it's up to you how long we're staying with you. Or, you know, I can leave my child at your house, but the minute such and such happens, that's not going to happen anymore. So you can set the conditions as to how these visits are going to go. Get the control back. She, as we mentioned earlier, she wants the convenience grandmother. She wants to set the conditions. She wants to say when and where and how long and all of that. No, no. You are the one that sets those conditions, and you make it in a way that is safe. It has to be safe for the child. The child knows when we're going, she knows when we're leaving, what are the behaviors that are okay for grandmother to have, and what are the behaviors that are not okay. And that's important. That makes it very, very safe for the kid, and it supports you. Next point, another one that we don't often want to hear, but it's really important. Do your own inner work. The more you do your own inner work, the more you get to know yourself and be grounded in who you are. From this place, you start knowing what your triggers are, and you can learn to control your reactions. The best way to deal with a narcissistic grandmother is to be emotionally unperturbable, okay? Like a stone, meaning to practice offering no emotional reactions to her behavior. She wants to threaten you. She wants to guilt you. She wants to do the passive-aggressive whatever. She wants to do all of that. You're like, whatever. It's just not affecting me, woman. None of what you're doing has any effect on me. Good afternoon. And then stick to your boundaries. So, like, for example, we said, stick to a time. You decide a time you want to leave at and stick with that. And that's a boundary, and we know how that works with narcissists. Like, the grandmother in question could start trying to mess with the kids to have them staying for longer. She could even cry. She would just use the whole victim stuff. She could start even yelling at you, whatever. She could do all of that just to make you crumble or to make you lose it and go away, like storming out of the house or do all of this stuff, which is weird for your children to witness, of course, and very confusing, and it's hurtful for you. So the more you do your inner work, the more you ground yourself, the more you can be non-affected by all of that, and just actually show your grandma, your mother, that that's just not working. There's no emotional reaction. Oh, okay, so like when my grandmother used to roll on the floor, I learned that. I didn't actually have much guidance on it at the time, but I somehow intuitively learned, okay, if I don't react, she's gonna get up. So like literally I have to exit my bedroom when she did that in my own bedroom, and she used to do that in front of the door, of course. I literally have had to step over her, as in not hurting her, not walking on her, but like jump from one side to the other to be able to exit my room. But I had learned to do that, like with no reaction. Okay, whatever, you want to stay on the floor, that must be very uncomfortable, but whatever, and just walk out. And magically her behavior stopped, because they don't get a reaction, they want a reaction, that's all they want. It's the same with the confusing, long, dragging conversations. They want a reaction. They want to cause distress, because that's just what feel like it, what allows them to get their needs met. So again, no reactions. Oh, is that, that's how you want to talk today? Well, we're not going to go there. I'm not entertaining this conversation with you. In fact, if you continue, I'm leaving, bringing my children with me right now, but with no reaction, no getting angry, no shouting, no crying, no anything. And I know it's hard, and you have to kind of fake it till you make it. Sometimes you might be very triggered on the inside. I mean it's never fun to see your grandmother lying on the floor like that, and so I was triggered inside, but I had learned that if I showed that, then she'd have something on me. So there is a benefit into, okay, just, I am triggered inside and I can feel it, but I'm not going to show it. And then I'm going to deal with it later when I'm in a safe environment where I can deal with what got triggered. And we'll go through that now in a minute. But in the meantime, while you're in front of her, practice to be like, I think it's properly called like, be like a gray rock or something like that. You're practicing be like built made of stone. Nothing affects you, and you give no reactions, like you give no emotional reactions to her at all, like passive. Next point, choose how much contact you want to have, and also how much contact you want your kids to have with their grandmother. So this can go all the way to no contact. And I know with some of you, I've been through this, especially in the working one-on-one. You may not feel like going no contact with your narcissistic mother. And that's okay. That's your perspective. But sometimes, if the consequences of being in contact with her is that your kids are being very affected by it, then this may be for you to consider. Being in contact with my mother was affecting me quite a bit, and it was having the way, so it wasn't directly her behavior affecting them so much, because being in a different country, thankfully we weren't being in the same environment very often, although the times that we've been together, she has been very toxic and abusive to my children. And we've had to intervene. It was not pretty. But being away, they weren't affected directly by her that much. But me being in contact with my mother had a big effect on me. And then the way I was in my own home was being affected. So they were affected indirectly. They were feeling the pain and the intensity of what I was going through, and how I was then speaking to them or behaving with them was not on because of that. So I had, like, the going no contact was really important for me. Now again, this is a very personal decision, and there's no right or wrong answer. It's whatever it works for you and your situation. That's what you gotta feel into. So if no contact is your decision, then go for that. But if you decide to stay in contact, then keep in mind you will have to accept the way she is. Remember, awareness, acceptance, authenticity are the three shields you have. So we've spoken to awareness. It's important to accept that that's just the way she is. She's not going to change. This doesn't mean you don't set boundaries. I mean, you set boundaries and you keep talking to your kids and listening to your kids, making sure they feel safe with you. But you also got to accept that some behaviors are just the way they are. We've done that. I'm still in contact with my grandmother, so she does come visit. And there are boundaries that have been set in place, like quite strict, on how she can, you know, what she can say to the kids or not, and how she can behave with them. But then there are also things that we know, we pick our battles, as in there's minor things that the kids are really fine with and we're all fine with. Like, we can actually, yeah, we can laugh about it and it's like, oh, that's just granny being granny. Those are okay. We don't need to get always confrontational. And then there's other stuff that is like, no, that's really not on. That's very damaging. That's very toxic. And on those things, we have very strict boundaries. So that's if you want to stay in contact. Point 8, remember, her control is an illusion. This is really key, especially when she's using the strings of fear. And even with guilt, but the fear thing, you know, leaving you feeling very anxious, leaving you feeling like you have no control, like you're trapped, like how are you going to get out of this situation kind of thing. Her control is an illusion. A narcissistic mother, as well as a narcissistic grandmother, wants you to feel powerless. She will pull the 5 strings of hope, fear, guilt, pity, and comfort to make you feel there's no way out, that you are not strong enough to go through with your decisions, that you are alone, and that the consequences of what you do will be too much for you. Okay? All of this is her game of manipulation. None of it is true. And there's one way to exit this game. The one super powerful way to exit this game. Stop focusing on the problem she is, on how bad she is, on how caught in the situation you are, and bring all your unrelenting focus on breathing and grounding yourself. And from this place, you can open up to solutions. When you're, and this seems really simplistic, but it actually is the one most powerful solution to exit that game of manipulation. That feeling of you're not in control. When you feel you're trapped and you're not in control, you have a tunnel vision, you only see the problems, you're always focusing on the problems, you're only talking about the problems, you're crying about the problems, your mind is like a monkey going around and around and around on the problems. From that place, you're stirring more and more anxiety, you're fueling the fear, you're fueling the hopelessness, and you cannot possibly see the bigger picture and the way out. It's impossible from there. You're completely caught in her game. When you stop all of that, you take deep breaths, and you allow your vision to become wider than just the tunnel of the problems. From that place, it's the only place you can start seeing solution. And from there, solutions are going to come. It's going to become really obvious that she didn't have all the control that she wanted you to believe she had. But only from there. So that's really important. And it goes straight through point number 9, which is get support. Because to do that on your own, it's not easy. You can. I mean, I've done that mostly on my own because I didn't know support was even there. And a lot of the support I found was not specific to narcissism, and they didn't understand mother-daughter's relationship. They did not understand grandmother's, granddaughter's relationship. So I had to do it mostly on my own. But getting support, it's really key. You don't have to do this alone. Doing it on your own is a lot harder. And this can support you in grounding yourself and opening up to find the solutions. And also with the point we made earlier, if you have, you know, to recognize the patterns, do your inner work so that you're not repeating the same narcissistic patterns, all of that within a support group or with a mentor that can really help you. And it can also support you with the being the rock, as we said, you know, like just behave in a way that is unperturbable in front of your grandmother. You might still be triggered inside, so to have a safe space and a place where you can then unpack that and actually process what you've been through in the particular situation, it's really important. So in the moment, you don't give the emotional reaction to your grandma, to your mother, but and you protect your children. But then afterwards, you have a space where you can go, okay, this is what happened, and I need to speak to this because the emotions I felt inside were such and such and such. This got triggered, and then you get witnessed, you get listened, you get seen, and you feel safe. And this is massive support, and it helps you not only healing, but also maintaining and going deeper and expanding into how wonderful you are, powerful you are, and also receiving, as we mentioned, the solutions. And this is really important when this happens with people that can understand you and that have been through similar circumstances. So a mentor or a group that are dealing with narcissism, it's really key because this will help you. They know what you're going through because they've been through similar things. There's an understanding there. And also by getting the right support, you will learn to ground, self-regulate, and be more resilient when it comes to get triggered. So getting support is really important. Now, number 10. So we said that was the most important point of all. Okay, it's the one thing that if you forget everything about this episode, like you've been asleep up until this point, but you apply this one thing, that's going to make all the difference. So point number 10 is to remember that you are, as a mother, okay? So I'm talking to the mother having issues with a narcissistic mother that has become grandmother, okay? So you, as a mother, are the most important person in your kid's life. You and the other parent, of course. But I'm talking to you right now. So how you show up now will determine how your kids will be able to show up in their own life as they grow. They learn boundaries from you. They learn to love and respect themselves by how you love and respect yourself first, and then by how you love and respect them. Okay? Your self-love and self-respect. When you love yourself and respect yourself, you're going to be able to genuinely, from a deep place of the heart, love and respect them. That's how they learn to love and respect themselves, which is at the base of setting boundaries. They need to feel safe, loved, and seen by you. They need you to tune into them and be there for them. So focus on building these strong foundations with them. Rather than focusing so much on their grandmother and how toxic she is, whatever, again, focusing on the problem is not going to bring you solutions. Build the foundations with your own children. Tune into them. Listen to them. Love them, respect them from this place of being tuning into them and not projection. When you do that, the energy is directed in the right direction. And they're going to know that and they're going to feel safe. And it's like from that place, everything is going to go well. Like that's really, it's at the root. It's really important to understand that there is a flow of energy. The mother energy needs to flow in one particular direction. So it goes from one generation to the next, to the next. It does not go the other way around. But with having had a narcissistic mother, we were trained and programmed and conditioned from a very young age to direct the energy the wrong way around. So because we feel responsible, we've been trained to be responsible for our mother's emotional state, our energy is directed towards our mother's. every time that you focus on how toxic your mother is, or, and this is when you're aware of narcissism, up until that point you just believed you were responsible for her and 100% focus all your attention on her, and then you become aware of the narcissism, now you're focusing your 100% attention on the fact that she's the problem, so you're still focusing all your attention on her. Literally, it's like, if you want to put one person after the other, so you put your, you can go back as long as you want. So behind you, you're facing one direction. This is like a family constellation thing, if you're familiar with that. But it does, you don't have to be familiar with that to understand it. So you're standing facing one direction. Behind you, there's your mother standing facing your back. Behind her, there's your grandmother standing facing your mother's back. And it's like one woman behind the other. That's all your ancestral line. And it keeps going on forever. It's a very, very long line of women that are meant to be looking at your back. And you're standing with your back at them, looking at your children's backs. And then as you become grandmother, there's going to be your grandchildren in front of your children. And that's going to go on and stretching. You can see the future. That's how the energy is meant to go. From mother to daughter, from mother to daughter, from mother to daughter, and so on forever. That's the river, okay? That's how the river flows. When there's a narcissistic mother, and when that energy is messed up with, we are turned the other way. So imagine that instead of being turned towards your children and looking at their backs, you're turned towards your mother. You're facing her. And you're giving your back to your own children. That is what happens when we're fully focused on being responsible for our mothers and the energy is going the wrong direction, or fully focused on the problem. We end up leaving our children unseen, feeling unloved. It doesn't mean we don't love them. Of course we do. But that's the feeling. That's what happens. That's where the trauma starts in them. And that's where the patterns then repeat. So what needs to be done there is like becoming aware of it and sort of forget about what's happening behind you. It's like turn around and face your energy in the direction of your children. Be tuned into that. This does not mean that, oh, okay, I'm not going to have a life and my children are going to be my entire focus. And that's a whole different topic. And if we open up that door, we're going to create an entire episode on that. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a thing of tuning into them. Tune into them. When you're in a room, okay, to give you a very practical example, when you're in a room and there's your mother in the room and your children are in the room, where's your energy going? Who are you focusing on? I do remember very clearly, and this still happens in my family, unfortunately, today, but not between myself and my kids, but I've observed in other members of the family, this still going on. But yeah, let's bring it back to me. So when I was living still in my family home with my eldest daughter, she was small in there, my energy was 100% on my mother or on my grandmother. And I could just, you know, like my daughter would nearly be bothering me because I'm fully focused. Like my conversation is 100% focused on my mother right now, or I'm fully focused on my grandmother right now because I need to keep all my focus there. Otherwise, they're going to guilt me. Otherwise, I'm going to feel the guilt. I'm going to feel the shame. Otherwise, I'm not a good daughter. Whatever story plays in your head, you put that there, as in fill the blank. I had my own stories in my head, but that had me neglecting my child in some way. She was the one that was annoying me because was distracting me from this constant flow of attention and energy that was always being demanded the other way. And the feeling inside of me was, it's not my fault because they are demanding that and I have to give it to them. And so I'm taking it away from my child. It was really difficult for me to understand that this was happening and accept it. It was a hard pill to swallow, but it was very healing at the same time when I started actually just directing my energy in the right direction and just, you know, okay, no, my child is who I'm meant to pay attention here. These other women that are just rambling on, whatever crap is going on in their lives, that's their life. That's nothing to do with me. I'm a mother now, so that's where my attention is going. And if you can't get it, that's, as in speaking to my own mother, if you can't get that, but that's your problem. It's not my problem. I have my child to think about. Or another thing, another practical example is like you have a conversation on the phone, maybe with your mother or something. And then because you're very affected by that, your energy is all messed up for a good while after that. It could take me weeks to recover from a conversation with my mother. And in that time, I was so self-absorbed into that and so focused on how that conversation went with my mother that to my daughter, it would be like, oh, would you shut up and stop talking to me about that? I'm still dealing with this thing. So again, that's another example as to how the energy is just transfixed. Or maybe you're depressed and hopeless and you're just not functioning very well, which again, there's no judgment here. I mean, that's the effect that it can have. And you're like, you don't feel bothered to get up out of bed. You don't feel bothered to do things. That's taking energy away from your daughters or your children that are actually there needing their mommy to be there for them and to love them and to tune into them. So all of these are ways where the energy is facing in the opposite direction as where it should naturally be faced. And it does not make you a bad person or a bad mother. You've done your best and you're doing your best like I was and like I am. It's simply just the way the narcissism affects and impacts our life. And so then we don't realize how that just gets transferred to our kids. So when you become aware of that, that's the good news, the great news. It's like the minute you become aware of that, you can turn it around. It's the ball is in your court. You are completely empowered to turn that around, to stop giving the attention in the wrong direction and bring it to where it's meant to go. And that transforms everything, and that builds the foundations of the relationship between you and your kids. They feel safe, they feel seen, they feel loved, they learn to grow up with self-respect, self-love, with boundaries. And then you don't actually need to protect them all that much anymore from their grandmother, because they are learning that you have their backs, you love them, you are there to support them, you are a safe place. If grandmother does or say things, they can come to you and tell you, because you're never going to give them consequences, like projected consequences on them. You're actually going to be so safe, they will be able to open up. Then you can give the consequences to the person. I mean, you can go to your mother and give her consequences, but you're not going to take it out on your kids. And all of that transforms it. And they're going to actually be able to turn to their grandmother and go, you know what? That behavior is not on, Granny. I love you and I love spending time with you, but, you know, Mom said no treats. Why are you still giving us treats? Would you know, stop that. That does happen. I have seen that happen. My daughters are amazing. Like the way now they can just go, no, Granny, no, that's just not a good, no. Because they feel safe and they can come back to us. So that foundation is the one most important point of all. You are the most important person. You are the most impactful person in the life of your children. The more you do your own inner work, the more you ground yourself, the more you're open up to receive support and get support, the more you can show up for them in a way that makes them feel loved, seen, and safe. Now, you can take responsibility, you can say sorry when you need to, and that's going to show them and empower them massively. And yeah, and give them what you did not get from your mother, effectively. All those things, that really breaks the cycle. That really breaks the cycle of all the repeating patterns in a family line. And you are the groundbreaker. You are the one that is breaking that cycle and changing everything in your family. And when you do that, you're changing everything in your family for, you know, that line in front of you that stretches into the future for all of those generations ahead. You are the one that is turning it all around right now by just changing this big thing, this incredibly impactful thing. You build the foundations with your kids, you're changing life for generations ahead. That's how powerful you are. And that's it for today. I'm going to leave you with that. If you have any questions, reach out. This is a big, big topic. And one topic that is absolutely incredible to work one-on-one on. So again, maybe it's with me. Maybe it's with someone else that you're going to work with. That's fine. As long as you get the support that you need and bring this into a container where it's safe to unpack and process, I've seen amazing results. So the one-on-one intake is now open for the beginning of April. So if there are spaces at the moment, they do go pretty quickly. So if you want to know more about it, now the web page is actually active, so I have the link in the description of this episode and you can have a check and see on that. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to me. So with that said, I'm gonna leave you and send you lots of love. Bye for now.